Chapter 3. Ori Tenro didn't show up until Basine had already programmed the coordinates into Clodagh's gauntlet ship, the Sparrowhawk. As she watched her new inconvenience run up the ramp, heavy pack in hand, she realized that Clodagh must have planned it this way on purpose. If she'd met Ori first, he never would have made it onto her ship.
"Sorry I'm late. I'm Ori. Clodagh said..."
"I don't care what Clodagh said. Strap in." She inclined her head toward the empty seat. He sat, looking at her in confusion.
"Clodagh didn't say you were a woman."
In response, she fired up the boosters and pulled on the throttle hard enough to cause her new charge to fall backward and bang his head with a satisfying clunk.
"Ouch! What was that for?"
"I sensed you were getting ready to flatter me." He rubbed the back of his head and buckled in. First of all, he was too good-looking and took no pains to hide it, as she did. Typical blue Pantoran skin, yellow eyes, lavender-white hair pulled back in a ponytail. No facial tattoos, which suggested he didn't value his family or didn't have one. He was dressed more nicely than most of the students who trained with Clodagh, but at least his shirt, pants, boots, and vest were practical. No flowy robes and silly hats. He wore a blaster slung low on his hip, and she was curious if he knew how to use it.
"How long have you been training with Clodagh?" she asked.
"A few years. They say he's the best."
"He is. And he says you're a good slicer."
That earned a lazy smile.
"He's right."
"How do you feel about med center data?"
"Get me a way in and I can give you anything you want. I can find out if your favorite senator has any social diseases. Is that what this secret training mission is about?"
Basine stopped herself before she could chuckle.
"Not quite. Now, the thing about working a job is that you have minimal guidance and don't know the larger game being played, only your small piece. So I'm going to tell you exactly what I need you to do, and you're going to make sure you have whatever you need to do it hidden on your person. Do you have any less noticeable clothes?"
He scoffed.
"Do you?"
"Of course. I can disappear. I can be anyone. Even Clodagh wouldn't recognize me, and he raised me. That's the foundation of any job. Not being noticed."
"With a face like yours? Sorry, but I don't buy it."
Her eyes slashed sideways at him. If he was trying to flatter her, he was failing. She held out her hand and waggled black-tipped fingers.
"How much would you care to wager?"
Thus began Ori's introduction to spycraft and to losing bets with Basine Nital. First, she slipped into goggles and a lumpy brown flight suit and told him she was Paff, the gunner. They ate an entire meal at the same table, even talked about what a hard-ass that Basine Nital was. Then she spent a few hours playing hide-and-seek with him, calling him from the same room of the ship and disappearing before he'd turned around. He was soon out of breath and doubting his own sanity. He didn't even seem suspicious when he found a half-dressed Twi'lek draped across his bed that evening.
"I'm the ship's masseuse," she purred. "Holding any tension?"
"Does Basine know about this?"
he asked.
"Who's Basine?"
He held his hand to his forehead as if taking his own temperature, turned, and nearly fell down the ladder on his way back to the bridge. So much for swagger. An hour later, Basine took pity on him and called him down to the cockpit.
"You're pretty stupid for a smart guy," she began, in the Twi'lek's voice.
Ori groaned.
"Ugh, we're the only two people on this ship, aren't we?"
She nodded.
"I can see why Clodagh sent you off planet. Book smart, street dumb.
So let's start by discussing how to detect a disguise. Then we'll move on to makeup, costuming, and voice modulation." She held out her hand. "But first, pay up." He handed over the credits with another groan. It was a long trip, after all, and teaching him wasn't so horrible.
He was intelligent, if naive. In return, he helped her fix some of the nagging problems on the old Mandalorian ship. Flickering lights, sticky doors, that one panel in the cockpit that refused to light up. He had told her the truth. As much as he didn't seem to understand people, he understood machines. Bazine lectured him on the finer points of spycraft, at least as did not relate to her current mission, and in return, he taught her the basics of ship mechanics, wiring, and how to fix any common problems that might arise.
"Keeping an old ship going is all about sweet-talking her before she limps," he said, handing Bazine a spanner, or trying to. She wouldn't accept the oily thing until she'd found some gloves. "I worked in a garage on Coruscant for a while. Every mechanic overcharges. They know they're the only thing between you and a cold death in the middle of nowhere, and they also know that they don't need repeat business to thrive."
Bored with the long journey, she learned what she could and stored the information away for later. Her first purchase with this mission's credits would be an old but nimble ship like the Sparrowhawk, provided her employer paid her as well as they'd promised. On the bright side, when Ori was talking about wiring and data chips, he wasn't asking about how she knew Clodagh or where she was from. The chatty Pantoran couldn't give up the idea of small talk, no matter how many times she punished him for trying. She had to keep her distance, especially if Ori was really Narglatch.
"I would be of more use to you if you let me know what the real mission is,"
he said as they were fine-tuning the hyperdrive, preparing for the final leg of the journey.
"I mean, looking up an encrypted number in a med center data system is child's play. Where's the espionage? When do I get to go undercover? When do the secret gadgets and hidden weapons come in?"
Bazine slid out of the hatch and sat up, annoyed with his persistence. "They come in when your only choice is to use them or die. Do you really want to know what it's like being a spy? Never sure to whom you're giving your allegiance, and knowing that most of your colleagues will die gruesomely, often by your hand? Fine. Let me show you. Quit fiddling, initiate the jump, and look." Ori clicked the hatch shut, sent the ship into hyperspace, and watched her as she gently, carefully removed the tightly fitted black skullcap she always wore. He almost did a good job of hiding his horror and pity when he saw why she wore it. "On my first job, Clodagh sent me out to steal something from one of his competitors. He told me to cover up and stay hidden, but I thought I'd have better access if I acted the vamp. I was 14 and so proud, so vain. My Mark knew what I was up to almost immediately. And then he showed me his flamethrower." Her fingers traced over the twisted pink burn marks on the left side of her scalp, trailing over the tufts of shorn black hair. "Luckily, I had a knife in each boot, and I left his body next to what was left of my hair. I got Clodagh what he wanted. But from then on, I learned to remain unseen." As if sensing the delicacy of the situation and how harshly she would punish him for pity, Ori looked away.
"You know, if you want to be unseen, I heard about this new sensor-jamming baffle-weave fabric that will make you virtually undetectable. It's still in test phase, but it should be pretty easy to find on the black market. Does wherever we're going have one of those?"
She rolled her eyes. "Every planet has a black market of some kind. Did Clodagh teach you nothing?" He blushed indigo and fiddled with his wrist comlink.
"He tried. And then he concluded that I have a bad head for anything that doesn't have a data port. That's why he sent me to you. He said you'd be harsh and blunt, but I wasn't quite prepared for this reality. So he raised you, huh?"
She turned away to replace her skullcap. "If you could call it that. My bedtime stories were tales of bloody pirate raids. My friends were grizzled murderers who taught me how to punch. My jump rope was a garrote. But it was better than the orphanage."
"Sounds rough."
Bazine flopped into the pilot's chair and slung her legs over the armrest. In that moment, she decided to kill Ori and leave his body in the wilds of Vashka. That made it easier to talk to him, to accept that she'd already told him secrets she'd never told anyone before. It was like bleeding poison from a wound, really, answering his questions, so long as she didn't look him in the eyes and see herself reflected there. It's funny. I grew up in Clota's combat school. My first year, all I saw were boots and hairy knees. He taught me to fight, sneak, hunt, hurt, and kill. I can steal food, but I don't know how to prepare it. I can't even keep a plant alive. She held up her hand, showing black fingers she repainted every morning. I don't just have a black thumb. I've got black hands. But I'm good at what I do because of Clota, and that's all that really matters.
But don't you have anyone you care about? Besides Clota? People matter, too.
She watched the stars skim past outside the viewport, feeling as empty as the spaces between them. No people. You get close to them and they die or disappear. You kiss them just for fun and they tie you to the bed and steal your creds. They're messy, stupid, foolish. Her head swiveled to focus on Ori as if she'd just come up out of a dream. Clever you are, getting all that out of me. Not that it'll do you any good.
Not everyone you kiss will tie you to the bed and steal your stuff. Unless you're into that,
he said softly with just the slightest smolder. Basine slipped out of her chair, got on her knees, and leaned very, very close. So close that she knew he could feel her breath on his lips.
People who kiss me, she purred, all breathy, end up on the floor. Some for a few hours, some for a few days. Some never recover. This isn't black lipstick I'm wearing, so don't even think about it.
Before he could respond, before he could even blink, she stood smoothly, brushed hands down her pants, and walked out the cockpit door right as the ship completed the jump and reality descended.
If it's any comfort to you, he called to her back, I'm terrified of you.
At that, Basine actually smiled. Only later did she realize that she'd revealed more than she'd planned, and he'd revealed nothing. Nothing about his background, his home, his hang-ups. Clota told her Ori had no training outside of slicing and fighting. And yet he was unnaturally deft at manipulating feelings. But was it an inborn talent, or one that had been carefully taught and purposefully hidden? She'd find out soon. Vashka hovered through the viewport, waiting.